This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Open Floor, filling in for your host, Michael the Pod Pina. I'm Rohan Nadkarni, joined today by an incredibly special guest. I'm very, very excited about this one. You know him from his stand-up special, People Pleaser, out now. You know him as a staff writer from Last Week Tonight, formerly a staff writer for Desus and Mero, RIP. Also the co-creator of the Modern Seinfeld Twitter account, like just one of our great lost pieces of art. I don't know if we can kind of convince him to bring it back. Joining me today, also just a valued member of the Open Floor Gobe,
thank
Josh
you.
Gondelman. Josh, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
I feel like this is a very 21st century thing that's happening right now, in that we've literally never had a conversation before.
True.
And the first one we ever have is going to be recorded for everyone to listen to.
I think our instant chemistry is going to dazzle listeners, and they'll be like, these guys must have gone to high school together years apart somehow.
Yeah, they think we're sandbagging them. We go way back. Family, friends. There was one year that I was in a fight with my family, so we spent Thanksgiving together.
Yeah.
Such an incredibly
specific and beautiful pull for that.
Yeah, right? That's just a very, I think, a very vulnerable moment. So
we went to different colleges, but we had the same summer job, same summer internship somewhere, and we always bonded as a very close intern cohort. Yeah.
Yes. We were on from different side of the tracks when we first met each other. There was no way we were going to be friends.
No way.
But then through the course of this summer internship.
And the magic of podcasting.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the magic of podcasting. Listen, I'm going to be honest with our listeners. Thank you so much for your emails. Please keep them coming in, openfloormail@gmail.com, because we have reached that point in the summer. I described it in a story I wrote today. It's like Will Smith and I Am Legend, but instead of looking for people, just looking for NBA news. Summer League is long done. The season's still months away. There's not much going on. Josh, I'm curious, though, from your perspective, what's your summer sports consumption like? Do you like watching baseball? Are you watching the W? Are you just taking a break? How much basketball do you like to watch during the normal season? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Great question. I'm a very regular NBA watcher during the season. I'm from Boston originally. I catch most of the...
Oh, no.
Or that's not true. I catch many Celtics games, but I'm out a lot. So I'm like always tracking it on various apps, just tracking scores and stuff. And then I'm a League Pass subscriber.
There we go.
Yeah. I this summer... So I had COVID this week. Ooh. And so I was sequestered in our little home office that I'm in right now, and I couldn't really watch much live. But last night, my wife went to a hotel so I could take care of the dog for a couple nights, and I got to go back out into the living room.
There we go. She's healthy. Okay.
Yeah. So I watched the first half of the Sun, the Connecticut Phoenix WNBA game, which I really enjoyed. I'm trying to be a more active WNBA fan. I've adopted the Liberty because that's like my neighborhood team now, but in Brooklyn. But I haven't gone to any games this season, partly because of COVID, and I'm like, I feel like the team is due for a renaissance. And then baseball, it's tough because I'm a Red Sox fan, but they're not great this season, and I like just can't bring myself to watch the Yankees for pleasure. They're too good. I can't enjoy it. My like spite-based enjoyment metrics are all off. So I did enjoy a weird Mets win last night, hanging out with my dog. So that was pretty good. But summer is kind of a lull for me. And again, burgeoning WNBA fandom, but like it's the bulk of it is baseball, and I just like it just doesn't have the same coming off of the NBA playoffs into just like the middle of the Major League Baseball season is. It's a little bit of a slowdown.
Yes, a little bit. We somehow Chris Herring and I had an extended baseball conversation on this podcast that I won't drag our listeners back into. But yes, baseball, entirely different beast than the NBA playoffs. You mentioned WNBA. I'd be remiss if we didn't. I just have to mention Brittany Griner was obviously sentenced in Russia this week. Listen, we're not going to wade into the geopolitics here. I think it's safe to say we all want her home. We know the NBA and WNBA working on it. We know the Biden administration's working on it. I will say for people who somehow haven't heard this or listened to this podcast, her sentencing does at least open the door to a negotiation to bring her home. There's really not much more to say than that, other than it's just an awful scenario, truly a nightmare, and hopefully this in some way speeds up the process of her returning home.
It seems right. I'm glad that that is the upshot of this sentencing, is like, okay, now the diplomacy can kind of take hold more, because it is really, it's so sad and scary to hear that like sentenced to nine and a half years in prison. It's really unjust and horrible.
Absolutely. So again, we keep starting with these serious things on the show. There's no great segue, but we're going to try to get into some basketball things now. A few fun emails today as well. I wrote a story for Sports Illustrated today. I just thought if the playoffs were starting right now, I'm trying to decide which team am I most confident in winning the title. So I ranked my top five. Josh, I'm not going to make you give me your five on the spot. I'm curious.
Okay.
What's your... If you had to, let's say I'm making you bet the house on something right now, you know, let's say this is the scenario. You're in severe gambling debt.
Okay.
You came into some money that you then used to get yourself even further into debt.
Absolutely.
They're threatening your family, the whole nine yards. They're like sending you photos of your loved ones, like, oh, like, you know, little Sarah sure does love her school friends. And it's like, you know, so you got to make
this seems really dire because my dad does not like to have his picture taken. So this is real duress. If they're sending me pictures of my parents.
Exactly. They somehow got pictures of your dad. You have to make one big bet to win it all back. Which team are you most confident in right now to make that bet on to win the 2023 NBA Finals?
You know, this is a great question. And I think it's interesting, too, because, like, we are so far from the finals that it's like, well, the Warriors looked so great in this year's finals and are restored to health, right? That was the big question mark coming into this season, was, like, what are they going to look like with Klay and Steph back playing with Draymond? But that doesn't guarantee they're healthy 10 months from now. So I'm gonna take the kind of slight contrarianism based on the most recent evidence and say I think with Chris Middleton back soon, I'm gonna say the Bucks. They're really scary, and I say that as a Celtics fan. So in my heart, I'm like, dude, there's no way. Malcolm Brogdon, there's no way. Shoring up the guard rotation. Dude, seriously? It's a joke. It's over before it's begun. But I do think, like, I think repeating is really hard. It's really relying on the health of a few players who have historically had health troubles, right, with the Warriors. And just, like, Giannis is a superhero at this point.
I think that's a good pick, and I'm curious to see how the Bucks look to start the season. I was going through it for the story, and I was a little surprised how old some of their rotation guys were. I mean, Brooke Lopez getting up there. I think he's going to be 35, I believe, by the start of the playoffs. Wesley Matthews, 36. They signed Joe Ingles as kind of their big offseason addition. He's going to be 35 by the time the season starts, coming off a torn ACL. They had I was hoping for a little bit more activity from them in the summer. I know it's always easier said than done. But you brought up the key point there is it Giannis, Drew, and Chris Middleton together, it's hard to find a better kind of three-player core, especially in a league that I think's now kind of gone back to most teams of two stars, most great teams of two stars. Mm-hmm. I think they have a legitimate, you know, three all-star team that's really, really good. And you said it. I mean, Giannis, what he did in some of those games in that Celtics series, I mean, the first half of that game seven, outrageous.
The first half of game seven, I was like, oh no, this is, he's going to win this by himself because the rest of the team was not playing well.
He really looks like the player. I think him and Steph are the two guys in the league right now that can really win a playoff game by themselves. We haven't really seen that from any other guys recently, at least. So I think that's a good pick. Funnily enough, I do have them behind Boston in the East, as much as it pains me to say. As much as it pains me to align with the Democratic People's Republic of Boston and their state media, I think what they did in the offseason, adding Brogdon, adding Gallinari, and not giving up anyone from their playoff rotation, it's really impressive. It's really hard to pull that off. I can see you.
Incredible Brad Stevens moves.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Oh, my God. The supreme leader, Brad Stevens, yes. They were, unfortunately, really, really good moves. But I think the team I have my eye on, and I know Pina is going to be happy to hear this, I think if I had to bet right now, and I'm assuming this team's going to be healthy, and that is the question with them, no doubt, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yep.
Just looking through their roster, it's pretty ridiculous the kind of team they've put together. They got John Wall this summer. They can play big with Zubac at center. They can play some crazy small lineups. I mean, they have Norm Powell, John Wall, Robert Covington, Terrence Mann, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, all these guys who can play around Kawhi and PG, and I think they're going to be kind of terrifying.
It's tough to bet on a team that's like recovering from so many know, injuries to their two star players. However, the guy in league in history recently who has just come back and been a Terminator off of like the weirdest long-term injury is Kawhi, right? Just going to Toronto and being like, oh, I'm the best. Remember that? I'm the best. I'm just going to win the finals.
A weird history of like, yeah, all right, I'll sit out this year and then come back and win it anyway. It's not a big deal. I just think that their lineup flexibility is so good. And you mentioned, I mean, Kawhi is really the linchpin of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was also playing so well the last time we did see him in the 2021 playoffs before he got hurt. He was having a fantastic run. That game seven against Dallas was, I think, one of his better playoff games. He was right there with kind of the Kawhi of old. And then Paul George, also after the Kawhi injury, I thought was having one of the best postseasons of his career. Obviously, last year, he had the injury issues, missed a lot of the regular season. But when those two guys have it going, they're kind of, I think they have the best mix of kind of shooting and defense of any team in the league. Is there anyone else that you feel good about? Are you not saying the Celtics because you don't want to jinx them?
That's mostly it. I feel, not that I feel like they're like a runaway favorite, but I do think they're a really good team. I think that Brogdon is such a great player for them. Like, I think he fits so well into what they do as a team. It's also like Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White is just like the most ridiculous defensive guard rotation in the league, just like on the basis of being an all annoying to play team. I think they're going to be there. I think a Robert Williams and Al Horford's health throughout this season is, you know, I just want the best for them. I want them to feel good and play well. But that is like, I also, like we were talking about Milwaukee real quick, as a 37-year-old man myself, I've like firmly pivoted towards rooting for players in their mid to late 30s just as a rule at this point. So like I'm much more warm to LeBron than I was in the past.
There we go.
I'm much more, you know, PJ Tucker being like a sought after off-season target for many teams. It's just like, oh, we're the same age.
It's I still miss. Oh God! Don't get me started don't even on want PJ me, Tucker.
People don't even want me on their pickup team.
Man, PJ Tucker, what a loss that was for the Heat. I talked about that with Sharp, but yes, I'm with you. Al Horford, by the way, you mentioned that, and I'm glad you did. First of all, I love that you're showing love to our late 30s players. There's some really good ones around the league. Al Horford's an interesting name, though, because I think if he even takes a slight step back, that's a little interesting for the Celtics. It changes, I think, what they do to a degree. I mean, his defense, his switching is so important. Obviously, the three-point shooting. They do have good, again, front-court versatility between Rob, Grant, and Gallo. But I think Horford proved, during the playoffs at least, he was their most reliable big man. So if he takes even a slight step back, that's going to be interesting. Two teams, by the way, that I think are maybe have fallen out. Not fallen out, but I have an eyebrow raised is how I describe it. The Suns and the Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson Jr. are going to miss a bunch of the season. Yeah. You know, they could just be in one of those uphill climbs that they never really kind of get to the mountaintop this season. And the Suns, they just kind of sat on their hands this offseason, and that makes me nervous.
It's tough. They seem to be in a little bit of like disarray in terms of the DeAndre Ayton thing and the Kevin Durant thing. It just feels like they didn't make the progress that you'd want to see them make after like a really bizarre and upsetting end to their season. For them to then be like, let's run it back, but also let's have a weird contract dispute with one of our stars.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Let's keep together the best team in franchise history, but only in the most uncomfortable way possible that makes
let's make at least one of the key players involved really unhappy for a while.
Yeah. Really treat him awfully. Just make him feel like an absolute piece of dirt.
Well, in private. No. Publicly. Yeah. We'll do it publicly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. To play out for literally everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And I wish they had gotten. I like Campaign, and he's had good moments for them. He was. Did not have his best postseason. I think they need better Chris Paul insurance, ironically, considering he's an insurance spokesperson. But they need...
Cliff Paul.
They need Cliff. They need Cliff. There was someone who worked at my local McDonald's that looked so much like Cliff Paul, Paul, that it was... I literally, my friend and I just called him Cliff. Like, we'd go to McDonald's in the summer to see if Cliff was working there. Yeah.
Because you'd really... You're like, well, he looks exactly like Chris Paul. Like Cliff, No.
He looks specifically Cliff. Yeah. Oh, man. So, I'm a little bit out in the Suns. I do think the Sixers are fringe contender. I need to see if Harden is serious about being in shape. And then the one team that's... I talk about on this podcast a lot. I tweet about them a lot. I write about them a lot. The Denver Nuggets... Don't sleep on the Nuggets with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. coming back.
I the Nuggets are so fun. I really love watching them play. I hope that... I mean, I wish good health on all the teams, obviously, because the teams are made of people, and I don't want people to be in agony. But it is just for the sake of like watching a fun team. Like the Grizzlies and the Nuggets at full health are just like so much fun to watch.
Absolutely. Did you wade into like the Jokic MVP Embiid wars at all last year, which was a really toxic place to be, or did you stay above the fray?
I didn't mix it up too badly. I do hope. I think Joel Embiid is gonna get his this year.
I think
he's gonna be just unstoppable. Like last year was the Joel Embiid that we were promised and that Sixers fans had acted like he had played 8 full seasons of this already.
Yeah.
But watching that, I was like, yep, everyone was right. And I was wrong to doubt that like he could put together a season wire to wire that was just like dominant, and it was like, it's, I mean, he's incredible to watch.
He's sick. I love big men. I miss the days of centers posting up like 30 times a night. I'm the guy who's watching old Shaq highlights on Instagram all the time, which I've mentioned on here before. So I'm with you. I think Embiid was awesome. I thought he was the second best player in the NBA last year, and I think he has a great chance to win MVP this year. Josh,
I also think I also think that unless the Nuggets like are running away with or very close to the top of the West, it's so hard for someone to win three times. Like
that's not happening. No way.
They would have to win like 70 games.
There would be like protests. There'd be like, there'd be all kinds. There'd be rioting. It would not be good. Like somehow it would involve the Liberty Bell. I don't know how exactly, but it would. That's not happening. I don't think Jokic. I don't know what it would take for Jokic to win again in his career, but I'd be shocked if he did.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
I want to move on to some emails.
Please.
Because we got one. Then when I say that my jaw dropped reading this email, I could not be on a more different page, but I'm very curious to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
This one comes from Marcus. This one comes from Marcus in Brazil. Mm-hmm. He says another one from Brazil. Hello, Michael, Mr. Love Island, I guess that's my nickname, and Chris, the writer of the wonderful book about the Knicks. It is a simple question. This is not simple, Marcos. This is not simple, Marcos. It is a simple question. Is dunking overrated? Sports in general, and basketball in particular, are a TV show. Dunks are so spectacular they became a category of the All-Star Game. But are they so important? How many players are drafted because of their dunking skills and then their teams discover they can't do anything else properly? Pass, assist, shoot. Another problem. Quote-unquote dunkers put their body on a hard diet of effort and impact, making them prone to contusions. I'm thinking of Zion Williamson here. And then he goes on to congratulate Michael and his baby, blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
Yeah, congratulations to Michael. I haven't said that yet.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations to the pod. He got his kid a Celtics blanket already. It's disgusting.
Perfect.
Marcos, thank you so much for writing in, even though this question absolutely blew me away. Josh, I guess I'll pose it to you. It is a simple question. Is dunking overrated?
No. Dunking rules. It's properly rated because partly of these things, right? Because of the danger that we see people assuming with their bodies. Because of the fact that it is like for flair and emphasis, and it's not, I mean, there are other important plays, but I think dunking really energizes the crowd. It's spectacular to watch. It is, yeah, it's wonderful. I will say, we've been suffering from, in the age of social media, what I'll call posterization inflation, where any good dunk, people are like, he put him on a poster. And it's like, be honest with yourself. Would you hang that poster in your childhood bedroom? If not, that's just a great dunk, which is also great, but it's different than like a posterizing. And I think, so I will say individual dunks have become overrated, but dunking as a genre, spectacular art, 10 out of 10.
That is the perfect way to describe it. We do need better language in 2022 when it comes to describing dunks. I agree, not everything can be a poster, but dude, slam dunks are incredible. Like, slam dunks make me happy that my family and I moved to America. It's like, it's maybe one of the greatest things that this country's ever produced are slam dunks. I can remember where I was for certain dunks. Like, I remember watching Shaq or D-Wade lob it up to Shaq against the Cavs. You know, that play where he dribbles around a guy, runs out of bounds, run backs in bounds, throws it up to Shaq. I remember Dwayne Wade putting Anderson Varejão on a poster. I actually had that framed on my desk at my SI office back in the day. Yeah, that's a poster. Dwayne Wade over Anderson Varejão, watching that at home with my dad. My dad was like, in your face, Varejão. We, as a family, we hated Varejão for no reason. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And also, not only are dunks so cool, it makes blocks at the rim so cool. Like, that's what made Bam's block on Jason Tatum so cool. It's like, this might
one
be
of
a dunk.
The greatest yeah. plays. I mean, like, heartbreaking. When I see it in yes. highlights packages, my stomach turns because of how bad it felt in the moment.
I was so happy. I literally jumped up off my couch, screamed at the TV. So I've never done, I think the only two times I've done that in the last 15 years were for Bam's block and LeBron's block during the 2016
the chase
finals.
Down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I scared my dog, but yes, like dunks are so, who doesn't love dunks? Like that, like when Zion has the ball and you're like, he might dunk right now. That tension yeah. is exquisite.
It's incredible. I will say, you brought up blocks. I think blocks maybe are underrated. I'll give Marcos that as a point in his favor. There are other plays that I think we should hype up closer to where we are with dunks. But, like, blocks at the rim for sure are incredible. And then just, like, one of the reasons I love the Celtics team is watching Rob Williams just come out of nowhere and smother shots, block jump shots. Like, a big man blocking a three is so fun. Which is like the inverse of like a guard pulling out a rare dunk on like a wide open fast yeah. break. And hopefully, look, Marcos, I don't mean to spit in your face on this. I hope with the league trying to clean up these take fouls a little bit, I hope we get more dunks.
Yeah, exactly. The league is trying to give us more dunks. You brought up Rob Williams and blocks. First of all, could not agree more with you on blocks. One of the most fun plays that you can get in the NBA. Rob Williams, like, closing out to a three-point shooter and, like, swatting their shot as it's, like, a quarter of the way through to the hoop. Incredible. Yeah. Oh, my God. LeBron's block. Still just the most, maybe, like, a top five most exciting moment in NBA history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and he's got, like, listen, NBA teams are not drafting guys because of their dunking skills specifically, but I will say what a dunk signifies is this player has an athleticism that maybe we can harness into other aspects of the game. There's a reason why so many of the game's great players are also its greatest dunkers. It's because of the athleticism they have. Think about Kobe Bryant's won a dunk contest, Julius Irving, Michael Jordan. And then we haven't even, like, we're talking about athletic dunks, like big man dunks. Like, I just watched a highlight the other day of Shaq, like, basically elbowing David Robinson and then dunking, and I was like, yeah, this is cool. I want more of this.
There are lots of important plays, and I don't want to sound like I'm eschewing the fundamentals here, but no one in the history, and you can double check me with some kind, you know, whatever, Second Spectrum, no one has ever set a pick so hard it shattered the backboard.
Yeah, exactly. Rudy Gobert's screen assists are not literally, like, you know, causing glass to fly everywhere. Like, That's like was Tim Duncan a more exciting player to watch than Shaquille O'Neal? Of course not. Now, was Tim Duncan better? Perhaps. He did win more titles, right? The longevity, et cetera. No one's doubting that. But Magic Shaq running the floor and just, breaking backwards, as you said. I'm in shock that someone could think dunks are overrated. And I don't want to make it sound like, Marcos, you don't like dunks at all, but, dude, slam dunks rock.
Yeah, this feels like a slightly analytics-pilled take of, a dunk is not the most optimal way to score 2 points. And it's like, sure, I agree that if
also,
I was...
Also, it probably is. It's a very high percentage
shot. You're right, you're inside the rim.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, I appreciate Marcos, the heat of the take. That's what we need, right? In the dog days of summer, the takes are getting hotter. But I just have to disagree. I think dunks rule, and it seems silly to state otherwise. Non-dunks also rule, but dunks rule.
Yes, Marcos. While we both vehemently disagree with you, we appreciate the severity of the take, your willingness to go there, put yourself in that position.
Yeah,
but also just let yourself be open to dunks, man. They're a beautiful thing when they happen.
As one last point on this, sorry to keep elongating every segment. one of my favorite sports pieces of slang that I've recently become aware of, or maybe it's in wider use now, is when a player gets out of the way of a dunk, that being known as a business decision.
Yes,
I think
correct.
It's like a very charming way to describe like not wanting to just absolutely get clobbered by someone's like crotch flying at your face.
This is a good time to bring up that one time I tried to convince the Denver Nuggets to film a video of Kenneth Faried dunking on me. And I don't think it got... And by convincing, I mean, hey, do you guys think Kenneth Faried would be open to dunking on me while I wear... like a camera on my head, and I don't think it got much further than that. I think someone was like, you can ask Kenneth that, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna need someone to ask him for me. So hold on. Maybe we'll still get to that one day. But that's just how much we love dunks. That's how far I'm willing to go for the dunk, you know?
To get dunked on, the ultimate sacrifice.
Exactly,
as some would call it.
Yes. It's like Iron Man, you know, with the snap and Endgame and then me getting dunked on. Yeah. The same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. This next email comes from DM. That's all it says here. DM. Okay. He says, friends, with August upon us, this is an excellent time to think about what songs could soundtrack some of our favorite players. Imagine if when players were coming out or shooting free throws, like the arena would play their chosen theme song. Like Mariano Rivera coming out to Enter Sandman or Yoenis Cespedes coming out to the Lion King theme song. I was like, I didn't realize that was his walk-up song.
No, me
also,
either.
How cool would it be for the pod to feature a few of these audio clips? I don't think the pod can afford those audio clips, DM. Here are some nominations to get the ball rolling. All Cameron/Cams. Cameron's Killer Cam. This is what got me thinking about this, obvious reason. Zion, Sister Nancy's Bam Bam. At first I thought about Bam Adebayo for this, but that seemed too basic. And after Bam's playoff performance, he doesn't deserve one of the best songs ever. Hey, man, that's uncalled for.
That's cold.
I don't think I know Sister Nancy's Bam Bam.
I also don't.
Is that a? Apparently, it's one of the best songs ever. And then Jaws, Biggie's Hypnotize. Imagine how hyped everything would be. Jimmy Butler, Welcome to the Jungle. This is interesting. I like the concept. I think it does need some fine tuning.
Yeah.
Our producer Shelby with the text says Sister Nancy's Bam Bam is a dance hall song. I do love dance hall. I love
Yes. Okay. I know that now that I have the genre I can place it. Thank you, Shelby.
There we go. Shelby does say his favorite. I guess if I played it, maybe I'd know it. I do love dance hall, reggae, afro pop. Great music for this time of year, especially. I guess Shelby's getting down to it all the time. Josh, can you think of a way this would functionally work? Like trying to give someone like Steph or you know whomever, a Giannis, a theme song. How could we incorporate it into an NBA game?
I feel like just from like an ops point of view, you don't want it to disrupt the player's flow mid-game. So you couldn't play, and it would be kind of anticlimactic to play it like as they're shooting free throws. I guess maybe as they, if they sub back into the game, like in the fourth quarter, would be a way to do it. Because I feel like that's always kind of done without a lot of fanfare. But like Steph coming in after his last rest in a fourth quarter is like kind of an exciting moment, or you know, and I think that would be the place to do it.
That is a fantastic suggestion that I never would have thought of, and is actually incredible. Like, I always say on this pod, like, my favorite time to be a Miami Heat fan was 2009 when the Heat were, like, down 7 points and Dwayne Wade was checking back in the fourth quarter and it was, like, it's go time. And it's, like, can you just imagine them dimming the arena lights and it's, like, checking back into the game, you know, number... And it's, like,
yeah.
It's like you're doing the starting lineup over again, but it's just for this one player. And, yeah, they get to pick their theme song. That would be sick. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Like, I feel like, despite the... numerous kind of upsetting allegations against Nelly, which I guess I would imagine is irresponsible not to bring up. Jason Tatum coming in the fourth quarter to EI by Nelly, like, uh-oh. I feel like people, because they have a connection, the St. Louis connection, I feel like people get really hyped about it. Yeah, I think that, like, that could be a moment.
That would be great. Like, Embiid coming back into the Rocky theme or the DX theme song.
Yep.
God, this is, I like the question, DM, even though, like, man, coming into the fourth quarter is a really, really good one. Another one that I think could be interesting, the problem is it's mid-game, so how hyped would it really get players? Mm-hmm. When it's like, you know, I think about, like, Chris Paul, it's the fourth quarter, and he's dribbling up the ball up the court slowly. Like, if it's just him, that's, like, an in-game moment. To play the theme song, the crowd knows what's happening. Like, it's that time. Like, that could be a lot of fun. But I really love the checking into the fourth quarter idea. Are there any other player song combinations that you can think of that maybe you'd like to see?
Gosh, that's... I kind of took my shot with my big one. The big one. I mean, like, obviously, like, someone with their own music. Like,
yes, like Damian Lillard
has, like, pretty legit bars, and so like let him check into his own song. I think that's kind of like a power move right there, is doing your own theme song.
I think that'd be really fun. I think obviously players who play in cities, like you mentioned, get the connection with the local artists.
That's tough too, though, because it's like local to where the player grew up or local to the place where they play, and I think that is kind of, with basketball, it feels like a little more like the music should be tied to the city for some reason more than baseball, where like you don't, it doesn't always feel like
baseball is completely random.
I
want Rick Ross to write like an original song for Jimmy Butler for when he checks back into a game.
In Brooklyn, they do play a lot of like Biggie and Jay-Z stings kind of throughout the game as an operations thing, and sometimes I think it's really cool and sometimes it feels like a little layered on, but like that Biggie just going like, "Where Brooklyn at?" is just like a really intense, cool way to start a game. Yeah. The other time would be you save it for the unquestioned star, right? The way like Michael Jordan would always be the last player announced, and then you flip the intro music and it becomes this player's walk-on music. So you do it at the beginning, and people get like extra psyched instead of just that pause of like, and now, 6'6" from the university. Like, there's also like the beat changes.
What a good PA voice. That is booming. Yeah, you like the appropriate distance from the microphone and everything. Thank you. You nailed it. How do you feel about? How do you feel about the atmosphere at Nets games, by the way? They're an interesting in-game experience, I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, I truly, not to be like basic about it, it is still finding its footing as as like a ambiance. Like, even
I agree,
you get on the train and you go to MSG and it's just like rocking. It is such a great basketball experience, even when the Knicks are not like in the thick of the playoff race. Even
The
game is not great. Yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing like a Knicks Kings game when neither team was that excited. I mean, it was when Boogie was on the Kings and he was great, but yeah, like you mentioned, just getting the train, walking up to the arena, it's so different. The Nets games just have a weird, like, it feels like everyone is there for different reasons. In a way that it doesn't really feel like in most other NBA arenas.
Yeah, and I think, and this might just be my Boston-ness creeping out, but I think like the KD, Kyrie, James Harden era set the mood back a little bit, because I do think there were a lot of like Nets fans that were like, we love this team, this is our team, and when they got they kind of pulled this constellation of the super team together, it just feels like that took kind of the air out of like the scrappiness of the fans, and it became a little bit more like, I don't know, it just like accelerated the timeline to a point where like the fandom didn't keep getting to like build and grow with the team. So you go and there's like a lot of opposing fans, which is great, you know, that people can do that, but it's just like partly because that's a more affordable experience than going to the Garden. Like when the Celtics come to town, it is just more affordable for me to go to Barclays than it is to go to the Garden, and more convenient for Brooklyn commute. But I think that is, it feels a little like they're still like, it's still coming together. Like the fans are still deciding like, what kind of fans do we want to be?
Yeah.
Do we want to boo a lot? Do we want to like? Do we have cheers that we do? What animates us? And it just like hasn't come together yet.
It feels very under construction, and that's not to say the Nets don't have great fans. Like I know a lot of cool Nets fans, fans, and they have a good fan section. Like you mentioned, like they put together that super team so quickly. Now there's, like you said, there's people who just want to go see the stars. There's opposing fans, and it's just, it can be a weird mix at times. But
yeah, anyway. No slight against Nets fans, but I think as an arena experience, it hasn't gotten like consistently to that point of like, okay, we know we stand now, and we know that we think this guy sucks, and we're going to yell at him. It just like hasn't all fit together yet.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Let's get to one last email here before some fun things we want to do at the end of the show. This one comes from Elliot Gold, who just, the subject is just Timberwolves slander. I don't know if he's a Wolves fan or not a Wolves fan, but he says, so great to have Sharp back on the show. Miss that guy. Thank you again to Andrew Sharp for doing the episode last week, by the way. Elliot says, anyways, my question is, let's say the Wolves have three All-Stars this season, something that seems highly possible. I think Karl Towns, Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, definitely all possibilities. Would they be the worst slash lowest regarded team of the last 25 years to have three All-Stars? Hard to remember another three All-Star group that no one even thought had a chance to make the conference finals. Interested in your thoughts. Well, I guess
this
the Atlanta
feels like this is slander.
This is definitely slander. I guess he probably does not like the Timberwolves. I guess there was the one year that the Hawks, they sent, I'm going to be honest, Elliot. I did not research the last 25 years of All-Stars. I'm sure Pino would have done it and then watched like the synergy clips of every All-Star game as well. But I think the Hawks that one year where they had the cute team and, yeah, you know, everyone was named player of the month. I believe they had four All-Stars maybe that year.
It was Horford, Teague.
Yeah, Korver, Millsap, and Korver, right? This was only a few years ago to give you an idea of the level of research I'm trying to do in August. But what do you think? Let me just start here. Do you respect the Timberwolves?
I do respect the Timberwolves.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if this will work out, this Timberwolves gambit. But if there are three, I don't think that Towns, Edwards, and Gobert are like reputation legacy All-Stars at this point, like that they're just gonna be there.
Yeah.
So I think if they're all three voted into All-Star, it's because they're mashing teams. It's because like Rudy Gobert is the defense that this team needed, and Towns is just like free to roam on offense and just like snipe from the outside and abuse people inside. Because I think like if they are three All-Stars, it's not going to be because of like, oh, this is a cute team that's playing well together, or like this is like a sweet story. It's because like these three guys are like really bringing it to like taking it to the league every night.
I think that's a great point. I do, you know, even though I think that the Gobert trade, they gave up a lot and it's kind of like messed up the trade market because of how much they gave up. I like the move in terms of they're going for it. I like that for them. This is what we should encourage small market teams to do, is push their chips to the table and try to win. Having said that, I think the objectively funniest thing that could happen is this team being a disaster, being like a comedy of sorts. It's Anthony Edwards and clearly not getting along with Towns and Gobert. It's them like crying after like a February regular season win, and getting too emotional about it like they did after winning the play-in. So I'm going to go with, they'd be the least respected.
Wow.
Regarded. See, they're going to get three All-Stars. I'm not going to take them seriously. I'm going to have them as a first round exit, no matter what, just for the comedy of it. Mavs fans already sick of me. Timberwolves fans, just hop on board. I'm gonna go ahead and agree with the slander.
I like this August heel turn that you're taking. How many teams can you make enemies? Yeah,
exactly.
How many fan bases?
I do think they have a chance to be one of those teams that's fantastic during the regular season that we're going to have questions about during the playoffs, aka the Jazz with Rudy Gobert. I think what Gobert has shown is that at the very least, he's a high, high floor player, right? Like, he raises your floor a lot. We know that about Gobert. The question remains, it's where's the ceiling? You know, Mike said a few episodes ago on the question that I think still haunts both of us is, who could be the worst player on a championship team? He thinks Gobert is a possibility. It's really interesting. I'm really excited to see Anthony Edwards this season, though.
Me too. He's so fun to watch.
He's incredibly fun to watch. The personality. Does this happen to you? Like my Instagram, like fake explore page that's supposed to be like serving me TikToks essentially. It repeats videos a bunch. I'll get served the same video like 20 times. But a video I get served all the time is Anthony Edwards watching Cardi B twerk. For whatever reason, the algorithm. I mean, I guess, for obvious reasons, the algorithm is identified as that is like the Venn diagram of my interests. And I gotta say, it's a great video. I love Anthony Edwards. He's hilarious. Absolute legend. I want him to succeed for sure.
Him naming his dog Anthony Edwards Jr. is like truly a wonderful bit. The only way I think to take that to the next level would be if he, like Marcus Morris Sr., had senior appended to his jersey.
Oh my God, that would be so good. Anthony next Edwards level. Sr. Oh, that would be really good. That is an idea that I hope he somehow hears. We need to relay this. That's a fantastic suggestion yet again. I'm really into that.
Thank you.
I feel like that sounded so sarcastic the way I said it for some reason.
No, I meant it genuinely. As a self-preservation measure, I ignore all sarcasm and I'm just like, hey, these people really like me.
Yeah. So those are the basketball emails we got. We got one more email that I really want to get to.
Let's do it.
Because this response came in hot to our last episode. With Andrew Sharp, we brought back the Love Island Minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I said some things. I spoke from the heart. And so we got an email. This is from Ella. The subject, Love Island Minute, questions/concerns. Hello, Rohan and Open Floor Globe. My name is Ella. I listen to your podcast from time to time, but the real basketball fan is my fiance, Cooper. I mostly just tuned in for the Love Island Minute, and earlier today, Cooper told me that there was a new Love Island Minute, so he listened to the absolute bollocks that you spewed together.
Wow.
Wow. I know. So Ella goes on to say that she gives me props for commending Ekinsu as a generational talent, but she essentially saying I was way too hard on Ekinsu in our last episode. Defended Ekinsu, said she's a girl's girl, always there to comfort, support, and uplift. Has never said anything bad behind any of the Islanders' backs. Mentions that in Casa Amor, Ekin didn't crack on with anyone, and we don't know what happened between her and George during that night vision footage. Josh, I know these words mean nothing to you. I promise they will soon. She said, thank you all. Love the show. I just want to respond to Ella because this was a passionate email.
Please.
I do think I came in a little bit too hot on Ekinsu last week because I think she's proven to be really loyal recently. I'm a big fan of hers. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge fan of hers. I do think that in that clip with George, there's more that went on than we know. But at the same time, if her and Davide have moved on from it, they moved on from it. So, Ella, I think you made some great points. I will add that I do think Ekin came into the villa really hot, said she was not there to make friends, had a little bit of beef with Gemma to start, but they've gotten over it. Again, Josh, these words mean nothing to you, but you just watched the first episode of Love Island.
I've been crushing some tape. Yeah, as I mentioned off mic, I've been crushing some tape trying to get ready for the Love Island Minute because I realized this week that I know of Love Island, but I'd just been like filling in what I thought happened on the show in my mind and didn't know there was a winner until this week.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, you know, that M. Night Shyamalan movie Old about the beach that makes
yes.
you old. I thought it was like that, but they just sent you to an island that makes you horny and then
yeah,
that was
exactly.
the whole show.
Yeah. I mean,
but
mostly
winners
yes.
and losers. I know. Yeah. I feel like I was pretty yeah. close.
Yes.
I watched the first episode and I was like, okay, I have a little bit of an idea of the lay of the land, but they still don't really lay out, like, game mechanics or anything. Like, in The Bachelor, they're like, we're here to find The Bachelor. And here they're like, there's 10 people, maybe they're all in love with each other. And I was like, how do you know who wins then? So I am intrigued. I'm, like, very intrigued. But I do think my ideal thing that would happen on Love Island, and maybe this is already a movie or something, is that episode one, they introduce all the characters, they pair them off. Episode two, they reveal that they've all been brought there to solve a murder. And the rest of the season are just these people trying to fall in love, but also trying to find justice.
I think, again, I don't know how you haven't, I'm sure you know the right people to pitch this TV show to, like just a limited series. I would watch the heck out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some kind of murder on, someone in catering is dead.
Yeah.
And it's up to the Islanders to figure it out. That would be incredible. I would absolutely watch that TV show.
This is the Clue reboot that we need.
Yes,
this isn't.
Yes.
This puts it in the modern times of like,
yes.
why are we all here? Yeah.
We're always talking about how do we update this for 2022? You know, how do we make it fit to today's societal standards? Blah, blah, blah. Just set it in Love Island. That's
set
all you
it
need
on
to
Love
do.
Island.
Yeah. I'm really excited for you to go on the Love Island journey. I think
Thank you.
Really, really, really going to enjoy it. Yeah, there's some. Did you start with season 8?
Yes. They introduced, it was the one where they many times were like, oh, and this time we're letting the
yes, okay, the, this was the first
public
time
pair them up.
Yes. Yeah, this was the first time the public paired people up. This is a good season. I don't think you even met Davide yet.
No.
Or, oh my God, brother. They're two of the most important people in my life now. it's my dog, my grandma, my parents, my brother, Ekinsu and Davide. And then everyone else.
It's really tremendous. The intros are, it's like really repeating the information so it sinks in, because they had to tell every single guy as he came up.
Yeah.
It's also, one thing that I forget about the UK is the diversity of accents.
Yes.
It's so all over the map that I was like, some of these people, I know I'm not in practice, like, hearing this accent and the slang and stuff, but I was like, it's a marvel that they're understanding each other.
It really is. It's like, oh, I have a Manchester accent. You have a London accent. You got a West End. You got an East End. Yep. It's Scottish. It's Irish. It's all over the place. It's the slang on that show is really what keeps me coming back, is just hearing them talk and drop. The phrases are so good, and there's no way you'll be able to escape using them your everyday life. Yeah.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Before we go, I did want to just ask you a couple questions while we have you here. You know, we get a lot of guests who love to talk about basketball, which is fun, but I'm going to be honest, none of our guests I think are interesting as you. No offense to Gonzalez or Andrew Sharp, who are perfectly fine people. They're not uninteresting.
I love those episodes. I said before we started, I've loved your guest hosting stint. Excited for Pina to come back, obviously, but have loved the Rohan sessions.
Thank you. No, listen, thank you again to all the guest hosts. We really appreciate it. We're hoping to get some more fun people coming throughout the summer. But Josh, I wanted to ask you, because you did have a stand-up set come out this summer. As I also mentioned, you've written, I think, for some of like our most culturally significant television shows of the last decade or so.
Thank you.
I want to know, like, are you feel like you're using different parts of your brain when you're writing for your stand-up versus writing for TV shows? I mean, obviously, you know, in the TV instance, it's other people who are kind of then using those words. Like, it's a very different style of comedy. There's a reason not a lot of people do both. How do you find, like, is it a dissonance for you? How do you find trying to manage both of those goals?
I found, so one thing that's really helped me is I heard an interview with Brian Kiley a number of years ago, who's wonderful. He wrote monologue jokes for Conan forever. He's a really, really funny, great stand-up Boston guy originally. And he said, he was like, my day job is to write jokes for Conan, so all the topical stuff goes to Conan, and then I take what's left, like I for my own act, like I do the other stuff. So when I think about it like that, the idea of like my job, you know, I pay the bills most of the time in writers' rooms, working for, you know, I worked for John Oliver for a long time, Desus and Mero for a long time. I want to do a good job at my day job, and then it, so whatever's left is, that's for me, right? So it's like stories that don't work for the show, if there's like topical stuff or cultural stuff, or just an angle that the show never took on something, I'm like, oh, I can still use this. Or personal stuff. So I think my act has gotten like, has become very much like, here's what my life is and here's what I think about things, out of the necessity of like, I don't feel like that kind of, I have that Chris Rock gravitas of like, here's what the world has been like for the last 3 years, and here's my, or 2 years or 1 year, and I'm going to process it through comedy for this audience that wants to hear my expertise and perspective. But also I've like burned a lot of thoughts on those topics working at shows, so which is it feels nice to be like, oh, this is like a rubric, and I'm not like, ooh, if I could only hoard these jokes for myself. It's like there's always going to be more jokes if I like sit down and write them.
So I mean, you also, again, like I think, like I said, like these shows are very popular, right? Like Last Week Tonight, Desus and Mero. I was wondering if you could give us just the slightest peek behind the curtain, because I think a lot of people would be fascinated, like, you know, how these shows work. Like, what kind of pressure do you guys feel under in that writer's room? You know, how do you kind of, like, when three people are working on a joke, for example, or maybe it is only one person at a time, you can tell me, but how do you kind of produce, like, fine-tune and turn it into such a polished final product for us to consume?
So it happens on those two shows, like fully 180 degree opposite ways.
Oh, wow.
With yeah, which is so, it's like been really cool to spend, I spent 5 years at Last Week Tonight, four in the writer's room. And then I was at Desus and Mero for 3.5 years, with the last 6 or so months as the head writer, which is really exciting. And at Last Week Tonight, you outline, for those big stories especially, there's a long time of like culling research, then there's a long time of like a couple days of like you outline a story, then a couple days of you write a long draft, and along the way you're getting notes from John and from Tim Carvel, who's an executive producer there. You're meeting with the research producers, the producers that work with footage, and it's just like this long process, so that by the time there's a rehearsal on Sunday, there's a rewrite for like 2-3 hours after that, and by the time John goes to the stage, it's like word perfect. He knows what he's gonna say. He knows how long it's gonna take. Like that, the script supervisor or AD will be like, "We're about 20 minutes." Excuse me. He'll be like, "We're about 20 seconds heavy tonight." And John's like, "Great!" And he just talks 20 seconds faster. He's truly a machine. And that's how it gets on the air. And so it is like a process where I think some of the stress of like, we have to get this ready for the night is that there's the whole team there is so great, really working collaboratively with the goal of making this like really funny and thorough thing. And that is backstopped by John and Tim being like really brilliant, and John coming, being like, ultimately I'm going to sit here in front of the camera by myself and talk at this camera for half an hour with, you know, with breaks for footage and produced elements. But I have to believe and want to say it the way it's coming out. So like, he's kind of the ultimate backstop for that. And with Desus and Mero, it kind of, it goes the opposite way, where a lot of the topical stuff, at least, you come in with like the premise or the footage, and they riff so much on set. And even for the sketches, they do so much riffing that it becomes like shaping things in the edit. And that is, again, it's a process with a lot of hands on it, where Desus and Mero generate so much material based on what they've been given as, you know, what's in the prompter, what they're bouncing off of each other. And then you have like the day, if it's the topical stuff, or like the week, if it's a sketch, to have all these different hands on it, like the writers who pitched it, the editor who's working on it, the producers, the director who was on set. And so again, it's like this really wonderful collaborative process that feels like, oh, I'm not out on a limb naked being like, oh, this thing I wrote better work.
Yeah.
Because it's, it's such a, there are so many wonderful people that like touch these things at all, you know, not to mention like the camera crew, the graphics department, our props guy, Pablo, who is like, hey, Pablo, can you get us 10 hot fish sandwiches that'll be ready exactly when we need Desus and Mara to eat them all? You know, it's like a really wonderful, it's collaborative, but like fully 180 the opposite. Mm-hmm. We're coming at things from the opposite direction.
Is there one that you can share? But is there I'm just curious if there's a joke that you particularly love for either of these shows that that sticks out in your mind that did not make it.
That they were like,
no, Josh, this isn't funny. And you were like, I don't know why everyone is not seeing what I'm seeing here.
My favorite thing that I've ever pitched to Desus and Mara was that almost got made and then kind of got killed and then just never came back. And I've always kind of like mourned it looking off in the distance, was a sketch about an Italian restaurant called The Secret Garden, which is like the Olive Garden, but where you take your secret second family. And so, and the tagline is, when I'm here, your family. And it's just like a scumbag dad with his secret family. And we almost made it. And I'm like, that would have been, I would love to have that on tape for real.
There we go. That is great. I would, yeah. Thank you. Just, you bump into someone, you see someone you didn't expect to see at the secret garden.
Like
I want to go to the real
booths,
restaurant. Yeah.
All the booths are very dark. It's cash only, no credit card receipts. Just a real dirtbag restaurant.
Just the Ashley Madison of restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Madison of restaurants, yeah. Exactly.
There we go. Josh, we were just about to get into the Desus and Mara breakup, but it looks like we've actually run out of time. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of Open Floor. Thank you so much to our listeners for bearing with us this summer. I know it's been a lot of different hosts, a lot of different voices on the pod. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with me, for keeping the emails coming, openfloormail@gmail.com. And thank you so much to our guest today, Josh. Please tell the people where they can find your stand-up special, where they can find your work. Please let them know.
I'm at Josh Gondelman on Twitter and Instagram, legally too old to be on TikTok. And you can find my special People Pleaser. It's an hour of my stand-up. It's like across VOD platforms. So it's it is YouTube and worldwide on Vimeo, I think, is the easiest place to go if you're outside the U.S. And Amazon Prime, they have in a lot of countries. I know I'm forgetting. Oh, Apple TV. So all the places you'd go to rent something. Yeah. And it's an hour of stand-up. I'm really proud of it. And I hope people watch and enjoy it.
Listen, it's really good, and I'm not just saying this, and I'm not saying I only watched it because I was bored at my parents' house, but all I'll say is that it was like, it brought me so much joy on a day otherwise I was like, there's nothing's happening for me today. I might go to Publix. It was truly great. Josh, this was a lot. I think as far as our first conversation goes, this was actually pretty successful.
Yeah, this is incredible. People won't believe it.
That'll do it, though. Josh, thank you so much. Our listeners, thank you so much. We'll be back with you next week. And until then, keep enjoying the NBA offseason.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels.
No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.